All right. You know what day it is. Today's Monday. Which can only mean one thing. It's time to finish what I started. It's time to finish Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Narrated in the worst possible way by yours truly. From memory. If you're new to the series, I have not seen Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone since Christmas. I've seen the movie a lot. And I've enjoyed doing this in the past, which is trying my hardest to recite movies from memory without seeing them in a while. So I thought this would be fun. Where this is basically the last part. If you're tuning in now and you haven't heard any of the other ones, I recommend going back and starting from the beginning, because right now we're going to be concluding Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Let me think back. What did we do last week? I think we were right before the heist. I love that I'm calling it a heist. I'm going to stick with that. This first movie is basically, if you look at most of J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter book structures, they're mysteries, and then there's usually some kind of a heist element. Like the Sorcerer's Stone, that's what they're heisting, and then the Chamber of Secret, they're breaking into the chamber. It's all mystery and then a heist, and that's a great formula. I'm always on board for a little bit of heisting. So anyway, let's recap the heist of the Sorcerer's Stone. It begins, I think, so last scene I think was McGonagall, right? We concluded with Harry and the trio talking to McGonagall, realizing Dumbledore was not in the castle anymore, and I think they just come to terms that they're going to have to do it and break into the Chamber of Secrets. Or not the Chamber of Secrets, oh my god, that's the next movie. What are we calling it? Like, the lair of the Sorcerer's Stone? I wonder what, is it a labyrinth? Like, what is the vernacular used to describe the situation guarding the Sorcerer's Stone? Like, the Trials of the Stone? I don't know. And actually, none of the children actually realize there are any. I mean, they realize it when they're there, but leading into that, they aren't aware that there's anything more than just Fluffy, which is a huge oversight on their side, because like, those trials could have been really dangerous. They're children. Like, they could have been monumentally over their head. I actually did not really think about the real world ramification of a bunch of, what are they, like 10-year-olds trying to break into what is an incredibly dangerous situation. Yeah, every movie is horrifically dangerous for these children. I think that's something that's lost in me, because I was a child when I watched it, and I was like, yeah, of course I can do these things. But looking back as an adult who's much more competent, yeah, no, if I was Harry's age and I tried to do what Harry was doing, I probably would have died. That probably would have killed me. That's neither here nor there. Okay, so basically, I think what happens is they come downstairs with the cloak, and Neville sitting like a disappointed father with his back to the doorway, and he like does the reveal with Trevor. And he goes, "You guys can't do this, you know? You keep losing us points for Gryffindor. I won't let you do it." And then Hermione just whips out her wand, and then I think it's Petrificus Totalis, yeah. And basically freezes Neville, and he falls backwards, catatonic. And then Ron comments about how terrifying Hermione is, because yes, that is terrifying. You've just petrified a boy. I think he goes, "Brilliant, but scary," or something. So from there, they cloak their way to the third floor, entranceway to the labyrinth, or to wherever the Trials of the Stone are. Fluffy's asleep. There's a harp playing, which is one of my favorite pieces of music in the whole. That first movie, like, obviously there's the classic theme by John Williams, which is great. But that harp, that little section of harp music is so good. I think it's called Fluffy's Lullaby. Oh my god, it's a great piece of music. It's just beautiful. Done on a harp. So yeah, that's playing in the background softly, beautifully. They're moving Fluffy's paw because it's blocking the door. And upon opening it, they are like discussing. They're like, "I'm going to jump first, then you'll jump, and then you stay back." Or like, they're basically arguing about who goes and who doesn't. I think Harry's basically saying he'll go and you guys stay. And they're like, "No way, we're going with you." And then they're like, "Hey, doesn't everyone realize the music stop?" And then Ron, being Ron, gets all the drool dripped on him. He's like, "Ugh." And they realize Fluffy's awake and has been staring at them, not attacking. And the second they jump in the hole, that's when Fluffy just rips the door to shreds. And they land in a bunch of vines. And then I think Ron comments, he's like, "Oh, thank God all these vines were here." And then they start getting, like, wrapped by the vines. And then they're like, "I can't move." And they get... I think Hermione realizes it's Devil's Snare immediately, and she just relaxes and goes under. And then Ron freaks out even more. And then Harry hears Hermione from underneath. He's like, just relax. Don't move. Stop struggling. And then so then Harry stops struggling and then falls through, and he's fine. Ron, of course, cannot stop struggling. So Hermione's like, Devil's Snare, Devil's Snare. A bunch of fun, but gets mopey under the sun. I don't remember the rhyme, but it's something like that. And then she fires Lumos Maximus, I think is the spell she uses, which creates light and obviously spooks the snare, which drops Ron. And Ron, he dusts himself off and he's like, oh, good thing I didn't panic, which hilarious because, sir, you were panicking a great deal. They go from there to the room with the broom and the keys, I think. Yeah. There's a bunch of keys flying around a room. And then they go to the door at the end. And I think Ron tries. Alamora. Is it Alamora? No, I think that might be the Italian song. I think I might be thinking It's Amore. But no, I think it's Alamora. Alamora? I'm not sure. Oh, man. What's that spell? I think it's Alamora. I'm pronouncing it wrong. It's like this is a Wingardium Leviosa situation all over again. Pronunciation of spells would be what killed me in the Wizarding World. I'd be like, Alamora. And they'd be like, that's not right. yeah, so Ron does it. He's like, it's worth a try. And then I think they realize that they have to use the broom to catch the thing. He's like, if Snape could do it on this dusty old broom, you can do it. You're the greatest seeker in half a century, or the youngest seeker in half a century. Or is it a whole century? One of the two. It's a long period of time. So he, as soon as he touches the broom, all the keys are pissed and they start chasing him like bees. And then he's basically trying to find the one key, which they're describing to him as like an old rusted key. And it's the one with like the weak wing because it was caught before, which is just so tragic. That poor key is just like limping around. Is it Madame Pomf? Is it not Pomfrey? I can't remember the name of the Quidditch lady. I thought it was Pomfrey, but that might be the medic lady, the nurse. I don't know. But whatever, I think that's her trial, the Quidditch lady. I can't remember her name. I don't want to keep calling her Quidditch lady. What is her name? God, names are going to be that's going to be the death of me when it comes to the next movies. Oh my god. Anyway, so they're going around. Harry obviously catches the thing, the key, and he goes down and throws it to Hermione, who catches it and then goes over and unlocks the door. And once she unlocks the door, Harry flies through the door and they slam the door behind them. And then there's this comical shot of the keys slamming at the door like a machine gun and going, bah, 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 bah. And then they move on to the next room. And the next room is a chess set, which they don't realize is a chess set because the lighting's really dim and it looks like a graveyard. And they walk into the center and they're like, what is this? And then Ron like ambles up in his like greatest John Wayne impression, he goes, this is a chess set, or this is a chessboard. And they realize they just can't like walk across. So he's like, we have to play across the board. Which, do they have to play across the board, or are they just trying to win the game of chess? Like, I don't know what the objective is, really. Also, the way they were taking pieces in this game, I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but the way they're taking pieces, because there's going to be a montage in a second of them taking pieces, but the way they're taking pieces doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, because like, if Ron has the knight, and like, sure, that's fine, but like, Harry is a bishop, right? Or was Hermione the bishop? One of them is a rook. One of them is a rook, one of them is a bishop. But like, how do they take pieces? Because I remember like, Harry, when he checkmates the king, he goes, checkmate, and then he just drops his sword. But I assume like the rook and the bishop, both being really important attacking pieces in chess, must have taken pieces in the game, for example a pawn. And like, most of the way the pieces were being taken were through violent combat, i.e. the pawns pulling out their double katanas and just slicing through other pawns, because in the beginning of the sequence, which I'll go back to it right now, Ron is like, Hermione's like, do you think this is like real wizard chess? And then Ron does, it's not Sicilian. I think, is it a Sicilian open where he sacks the pawn to get board control in the center? I'm not sure. I think it's a Sicilian, but whatever. He does an opening, that sacks his pawn and the pawn just gets blown away. And then he goes to Hermione and goes, yes, Hermione, I think it's going to be exactly like wizard chess. Which just leaves me with way more questions. Anyway, montage of pieces just blowing up and Ron ordering pieces around the board until there's just this really strange board state, which I've always wanted to look at. I've always been so curious to the board state in Harry Potter. I think that's been one of the things that, since I was a child, I was always like, what is that board state? Like, what was the situation that predicated him needing to sack himself as a knight to then give Harry the opening to check the, or to mate the king? I'm not sure. I might actually look that up after I finish recording this, because I am still genuinely curious, and it's a question that I always like think when I'm watching the movie, but I never get to like follow up. So I might actually follow up on that. Okay, so yeah, so they basically are in this weird board state, and then Harry realizes, like, no, you can't do that. I don't know. I don't remember who says it first, but I mean, Hermione is the one who's like, no, you can't do that. There must be another way. Do you want to stop Snape from getting the stone or not? You're the one who has to go on, Harry, not me, not Hermione, you. And then he, like, does the move, and he gets just obliterated, and then Harry's like, no, Hermione, don't move. We're still in the game. And then he proceeds to calmly make his move, and then he goes, checkmate. And then only after the king drops his sword does Hermione go and check on Ron, and I think Harry runs over too. And Hermione goes, you're the one who has to go on. Ron was right. You're a great wizard, Harry. And then Harry basically goes into the final chamber, which he walks down a bunch of the stairs. It's a really iconic shot. It's bottom of the stairwell. There's a reverse shot at the top of the stairs of the person by the mirror. It's, the room is basically centered around the mirror of Aristide. A lot of, you know, lights by fire. It's a lot of fire lighting. So he gets on the top of the stairs and he sees Quirrell and he's like, wait, you? And then I think they do a reaction shot in the mirror. They love playing around the mirror in this scene. The mirror was Christopher Columbus's favorite gag in this whole section of the movie. Like, he went to that camera department and he was like, guys, I'm going to be shooting so much around this mirror. So you guys got to keep your sight lines tight because I'm going to be shooting into the mirror. We're going to use VFX in the mirror because when we do the Voldemort reveal, it'll be great. Such an easy VFX. If we did the VFX the other way, it'd be a nightmare. So we'll do a quick, easy reveal VFX shot to establish credibility. Wow, it's hard to talk. And then we'll do a reverse afterwards. But yeah, anyway, that's the behind-the-scenes nonsense. So Harry goes down. He's like, it's you. And then Quirrell basically drops the act. He's like, no one would suspect clumsy, curious Quirrell. And then he's talking to someone. He's like, but Master, you're not ready yet. You're not strong enough. He's like, I am strong enough for this. And then he takes off the bandages. And he's like, and then Harry and Voldemort come face to face for the first time in a long time, and they're like, ah, like, you're my adversary, you're my foe, and then there's this sense of opposition. I don't really remember the exchange all too well. I don't remember what they say. I remember him, like, goading Harry. I'm trying to remember. I think he goads Harry into bring the boy to me. I think he said bring the boy to me. Does he do bring the boy to me yet? This sequence here is so hard to nail down in my head. I'm trying to remember. Does he do the reveal before he goes, bring the boy to me? And he goes, come here, Potter. And then he like uses him from the mirror. He's like, oh yeah, all that has to come first. Because only after all that does he do the reveal. So he's like, bring the boy to me. And then he's like, come here, Potter. And then he brings Potter in front of the mirror. And then he's like, look in the mirror, tell me what you see. And he's like, I see myself winning the house cup. I'm head boy. I'm shaking Dumbledore's hand. Everything's amazing. I have never been so happy in my life. And then, but really he's seeing the Sorcerer's Stone like drop in his pocket. And he's like, and mirror Harry's like giving him a little wink and like grabbing his pocket. And then Harry realizes it's in his pocket. And then the weird wispy voice goes, liar. And then Quirrell goes, tell the truth. And then I think that's when the voice goes, let me talk to him face to face. He's like, but no, Master, you're not ready. And then all that happens. And then he reveals his face and he goes, Harry, we can bring back your parents. Everything could be like it was. But I need the stone. Give the stone to me. And he goes, never. And he's like, kill the boy. Or then he like snaps his fingers and all, they're trapped in here. And then I think he says, you don't have to die like your parents. Or he makes some kind of veiled threat to Harry that's not very veiled at all. And then I think, is that when he's like, kill him? And then Quirrell just flies like a banshee at him. And then like tries to touch him. Or he's like strangling him. For some reason, even though they have magic, why did Quirrell's first move is asphyxiation? Why would he strangle Harry? He had a wand. He could have just like abracadabra'd him to death. Like, why would he strangle him? Why was that the move? I mean, you literally did this thing with fire all around the room. You could have lit Harry on fire. You could have killed him with that one-shot kill spell. You could have tortured him with the Crucianus curse. You got a lot of moves at your disposal. Why was the first move just asphyxiate? Like, you were just like Homer Simpson strangling Bart. Why was that the move? I mean, he deserved to die at that point. Like, as a villain, like, why was... You had so many other tools at your disposal. I am just baffled by that one. Anyway, so he's like throttling Harry to death. And then Harry just uses his magic hands to touch Quirrell's hands, and he's just like, what kind of dark magic is this? As his hands are like crumbling horrifically. And then Harry's just like, oh, my hands are murder weapons now, and just starts touching the dude's face, and he just turns into stone and then collapses over. And then Harry like pulls out the Sorcerer's Stone at the end and like looks at it with his like sliced up hand. Like I remember every time they have shots of like Harry's hands in the close up, they're just like covered in injuries. I'm like, oh, that must be so painful. But he's like holding the stone. He's just like, yeah, I did it. And then behind him is like the shadowy ghost of Voldemort. He turns around and Voldemort like, I don't know, straight out of the mummy, just like screams and then flies through his chest. He's like, ah! And then he collapses and faints. And then there's like a close-up shot of the Sorcerer's Stone, like glistening and stuff, with Harry in the background. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's a, I don't know if the reverse. I think it's Harry's hand close up on Sorcerer's Stone. I think. Anyway, then you cut on ahead to Harry waking up at a hospital. Something that he will do every single year he attends this academic institution. So he wakes up, Dumbledore says a bunch of stuff to him about, like, the only person who could find the stone, is someone who wanted, someone who was seeking for it, but wouldn't use it, I think, or something to that effect. And he's like, what are my more brilliant inventions, if I do say so myself? And he's like, oh, Bertie bought every flavored beans. I used to love them as a child, but then I got a bogey flavor and really turned me off them. But, you know, perhaps a nice toffee. And then he tries one and he goes, ah, alas, earwax. I miss that Dumbledore. That Dumbledore was, like, amazing. Oh, I'm so... His passing was tragic. I mean, Michael Gambon is good and all, but, OG Dumbledore. That's my stan. OG Dumbledore. Anyway, so, I think Dumbledore mentions Harry and Hermione, and I think there's a shot of Harry at the top of the stairs with Harry and Hermione on the bottom, and they're like, you're right, Harry. And he's like, doing great, Ron. How about you, Hermione? And she's like, never better. I remember that line specifically, her being like, never better. I remember that so well. And then you cut ahead, and now we're in the end with the house trophies being awarded, and everyone's bummed except for Slytherin, who's having a real shindig at their table. The banners are Slytherin, everything is Slytherin. Snape looks thrilled. And then Dumbledore comes up and he's like, before the House Cup is awarded, a few last-minute points need to be dished out. I think it was to Hermione Granger for intellect beyond her years, 50 points. And then it goes to Ron Weasley for the greatest game of wizard chess this castle has seen in many years. 50 points. The most arbitrary. What are these reasons they're giving them points? And then, for true love and courage in the face of evil, Harry Potter. 60 points. And then, I think Ron goes, we're tied with Slytherin. And, and last, it's easy to stand up to your enemies, but it's hard to stand up to your friends. 10 points to Neville Longbottom. And they're like, we won the House Cup. And he's like, it seems it's appropriate to have a change of scenery. And then he, like, claps his hand and all goes Gryffindor. And Gryffindor goes crazy. And every other house is, like, super hyped either. I think everyone just hates Slytherin. It seems abundantly apparent that everyone's kind of just high-key hates Slytherin. But yeah, that's fine. Everyone cheers. Then you cut to the train station where Hagrid's like, oh, I'm sad to see you go. Here's a book of photos of your family. And then he opens the book and it's like all the pictures of like Lily and James like dancing and like this pond, the frozen pond thing. I don't know. A bunch of pictures Hagrid has. And he's like, thanks, Hagrid. And then I think Harry walks over the train and Hermione's like, it's going to be weird going home, isn't it? And then Harry goes, I'm not going home. Not really. Which is entirely true. Yeah, you're going back to a terribly abusive household, Harry. Why is nobody in the wizarding world saving you from this? Like, they're all super aware of the problems you have at home. It's abundantly clear. But yet, for some reason, they've all decided, yeah, we should send this boy back home. Oh, man, Dumbledore, why can't you adopt Harry? Like, Snape even, Mr. Always, what's going on with that? I mean, I get it, you were like, there's something salty about it because you see James in him, but you loved Lily so much so that you were watching over her child like with such devotion. You could totally have taken in Harry, and that could have maybe like been some kind of healing for you personally. Like, you know, you couldn't care for her in life, so you took care of her son literally and saved him from an abusive household. Why didn't you do that, Snape? I don't know, a lot of bones to pick here. But I think with that, we come to the credits, which, like, fly up, and you see Christopher Columbus and all that stuff. John Williams with a score. So, yeah, that is Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone in completion, in four parts, which I think I'm pretty good about. Let me know how accurate I was. I don't know yet. I'm going to watch the movie tonight. I'm, like, really nervous about it. I'm actually really nervous about watching it. What a weird sensation to be like, yeah, I'm actually concerned to watch a film, because I think a lot of people on the internet probably heard me completely whiff retelling it, which is probably true. But yeah, that was my best attempt. If you want me to watch, or if you want me to do Sorcerer's Stone next, I haven't seen it since Christmas, basically, so it's the same wheelhouse. It'll be a challenge, and I'm down to do it. Yeah, that movie's hazy. I'm up for it, though. These are fun. I enjoy it, so let me know. Let me know in the comments below. And I'll see you guys all next week.